Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Great Menopause Myth is a Contemporary Health Guide by Kristen Johnson and Maria Claps, the founders of the women health and hormone education practice, Wise and Well, addressed primarily to women in perimenopause and menopause. It disputes the idea that midlife symptoms and functional decline should simply be endured as unavoidable consequences of aging. The book combines an advocacy-oriented discussion of menopause care with guidance on hormone therapy, nutrition, movement, sleep, stress, supplements, and metabolic health. Its central purpose is not to portray menopause as a brief or isolated event, but as a transition that can affect quality of life and longer-term health in varied ways. Johnson and Claps emphasize informed participation in clinical decisions, especially where symptoms are minimized or care is fragmented. Their approach gives substantial attention to menopausal hormone therapy, while also presenting it within a broader health framework. The result is both an educational primer and a call for more individualized, proactive midlife care, though readers should treat treatment choices as matters for qualified clinical consultation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, reframing menopause from inevitable suffering to a health transition. A defining aim of the Great Menopause Myth is to challenge the cultural and clinical expectation that women should accept hot flashes, disrupted sleep, sexual discomfort, mood changes, joint pain, body composition shifts, or reduced vitality without meaningful support. The authors do not deny that ovarian hormone changes occur or that menopause is universal. Instead, they question the leap from inevitability to resignation. This distinction matters because symptoms vary widely in type, severity, timing, and effect on daily functioning. A person without obvious hot flashes may still experience changes that warrant attention, while another may need focused treatment for severe vasomotor symptoms or genitourinary concerns. The book places menopause in a longer continuum that includes perimenopause and postmenopause, encouraging readers to notice patterns rather than wait for a single defining milestone. Its reframing also has a healthcare implication when symptoms are normalized too casually. Opportunities for evaluation, symptom relief, and prevention may be lost. The authors therefore present knowledge as a practical tool for asking more precise questions in medical appointments. This perspective distinguishes normal biological transition from the claim that diminished well-being is an acceptable or unavoidable endpoint. It also supports the book's overall argument that midlife care should consider health, function, and quality of life together rather than addressing isolated complaints only after they become disruptive. Secondly, hormone therapy as an important but individualized clinical option. Hormone therapy receives major emphasis in the book because the authors see misinformation and fear surrounding it as barriers to effective menopause care. They describe it as a well-established option for appropriate patients, particularly for bothersome vasomotor symptoms, such as hot flashes, and discuss its relevance to bone health. The analytical value of this focus is that it shifts the discussion away from simplistic positions in which hormones are either inherently dangerous or universally necessary. Treatment decisions depend on the individual, including symptom profile, age and time since menopause, medical history, type of hormones considered, route of administration, and personal priorities. The book seeks to help readers understand why a clinician may distinguish systemic therapy from local treatment, and why a single rule cannot substitute for risk assessment. It also urges women to find clinicians capable of discussing contemporary evidence rather than dismissing the subject outright. At the same time, the book has drawn criticism for devoting more attention to hormone therapy than to other approaches, and for creating some ambiguity about whether it should lead the plan or follow foundational interventions. That criticism is useful context for readers. The book is best read as a strong case for informed access and individualized discussion, not as a substitute for clinical screening or as a guarantee that hormone therapy fits every person. Thirdly, estrogen decline, metabolic change, and the case for whole body prevention. Johnson and Claps connect menopause care to broader concerns about metabolic health, inflammation, insulin resistance, muscle loss, and bone loss. Their premise is that changing estrogen levels can coincide with shifts in body composition and risk factors that deserve more attention than symptom management alone. This broadens the scope of a menopause guide. The relevant question becomes not only how to reduce an immediate hot flash, but how to preserve strength, cardiometabolic health, mobility, and resilience over subsequent decades. The book encourages readers to view midlife as a period for reassessing routines and health markers, rather than assuming prior habits will have identical effects as physiology changes. Its reasoning is practical. Nutrition that supports adequate protein and overall dietary quality, resistance or other regular exercise that supports muscle and bone, and attention to sleep can influence health independently of any hormone decision. These measures may also make symptom management more workable by improving energy, glucose regulation, and physical capacity. The authors do not present lifestyle as a moral test or as a complete replacement for medical care. Rather, they position it as infrastructure for a longer-term plan. This approach is especially relevant because menopause may overlap with other midlife changes, making it easy to assign every concern to hormones alone. The book argues for examining the interacting contributors instead of relying on a single cause explanation. Fourthly, lifestyle foundations and integrative options beyond prescription hormones, although hormone therapy is prominent. The Great Menopause Myth also addresses non-hormonal elements of care, including food, exercise, sleep, stress management, supplements, and integrative approaches when hormones are not suitable or are not desired. The underlying logic is that menopause care works best as a set of reinforcing decisions rather than one intervention expected to solve every problem. Sleep disruption, for example, can worsen perceived stress, appetite regulation, and daytime functioning, while inactivity can contribute to losses in strength and confidence. Addressing these areas may not eliminate all hormonally linked symptoms, but it can improve the conditions under which a person manages them. The author's professional backgrounds in holistic nutrition and functional health inform this wider lens and help explain the book's attention to daily behavior. For readers, the useful contribution is permission to build a plan around constraints, preferences, and medical eligibility, instead of treating one pathway as mandatory. However, the treatment of these alternatives is less extensive than the hormone therapy discussion, a limitation noted in published review coverage. Readers seeking detailed protocols for supplements or exclusively non-hormonal care may need additional evidence-based resources and professional advice. Supplements in particular require caution because product quality, drug interactions, and individual contraindications vary. The book's strongest practical message here is to combine lifestyle fundamentals with careful medical evaluation, not to treat wellness practices as replacements for diagnosis or prescribed treatment. Lastly, patient education and better menopause conversations in healthcare. The book is also an argument about agency in a healthcare setting where menopause concerns have often been under-discussed, fragmented across specialties, or treated as inevitable. Johnson and Claps encourage readers to arrive at appointments with a clearer vocabulary for symptoms, goals, and treatment questions. This does not mean self-diagnosis or adversarial care. Rather, it means recognizing that a productive consultation requires enough information to describe changes accurately. Consider options and understand why a recommendation does or does not fit. The author's emphasis on education is particularly relevant for symptoms that may not initially be recognized as part of a hormonal transition, including changes in sleep, sexual well-being, mood, or physical comfort. Better recognition can prevent a person from concluding that a problem is purely personal, irreversible, or too minor to mention. The book also speaks to clinicians by advocating more current, nuanced menopause knowledge and more attention to quality of life concerns. This dual audience is unusual for a consumer health book. It gives patients language for self-advocacy, while pressing providers to take their reports seriously. Its limitation is that access to experienced menopause care is uneven, and informed questions cannot alone remove barriers related to cost, geography, insurance, or clinical availability. Still, the framework is useful because it frames care as collaborative. The intended outcome is a personalized plan shaped by symptoms, health history, evidence, and patient values rather than a dismissive instruction to wait out midlife change. In conclusion, The Great Menopause Myth will be most useful to women approaching or living through perimenopause and menopause who want a broad introduction to current conversations about symptoms, hormone therapy, and healthy aging. It can also serve partners, family members, and health professionals who need a clearer sense of why menopause is more than a narrow discussion of hot flashes. Its practical benefit lies in giving readers a framework for observing symptoms, connecting them to wider health priorities, and preparing more informed questions for clinicians. Its intellectual benefit is its challenge to the assumption that midlife decline should be endured quietly or treated as medically uninteresting. What differentiates the book from many general menopause guides is its explicit effort to join symptom relief with long-term concerns about bone, muscle, metabolic health, and quality of life. It also takes a notably assertive stance that modern hormone therapy deserves individualized, evidence-aware discussion rather than reflexive rejection. That stance will appeal to readers who have encountered confusing or dismissive advice. At the same time, readers should recognize the book's uneven balance hormone therapy is discussed more fully than lifestyle and non-hormonal strategies. Despite the author's wider holistic framing, it is therefore most valuable as a catalyst for informed, personalized care rather than as a standalone treatment manual. Readers with contraindications, complex medical histories, or interest in supplements should use it alongside advice from appropriately qualified clinicians and reliable medical sources. Its strongest contribution is helping menopause become a legitimate subject for proactive, whole-person healthcare. If you would like to support Kristen Johnson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.